Dearly beloved, we have come together in the presence of God, our Heavenly Father, to render thanks for the great benefits that we have received at his hand, to set forth his most worthy praise, to hear his holy word, and to ask for ourselves and on behalf of others those things that are necessary for our life and salvation. O come, let us worship him. Let us kneel and bow down before him. Let us confess our sins with penitent hearts and obtain forgiveness by his infinite grace and mercy. The Almighty and merciful Lord has granted us pardon and forgiveness of all our sins, grace for true repentance and amendment of life, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Passion History Reading, Jesus Suffering Before the Spiritual Authorities. Then the band of soldiers and their captain and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. And they led him away to Annas first, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year. Now Caiaphas was he who gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. And they led him away to Caiaphas the high priest, and with him were assembled all the chief priests, the elders, and the scribes. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known to the high priest and went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door outside. Then that other disciple who was known to the high priest went out and spoke to her who kept the door and brought Peter in. And the servants and officers who had made a fire of coal stood there, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves. And Peter stood with them and warmed himself so that he could see the end. And the servant girl who kept the door, seeing Peter in the light as he warmed himself, looked intently at him and said, "And you were also with Jesus of Galilee. You are not also one of this man's disciples, are you?" He denied before all and said, "Woman, I am not. I do not know him. I do not know what you are saying." The high priest then asked Jesus about his disciples and his doctrine. Jesus answered him, "I spoke openly to the world. I always taught in the synagogues and in the temple where the Jews always meet, and in secret I have said nothing. Why do you ask me? Ask those who hear me what I have said to them. Indeed, they know what I said." And when he had said these things, one of the officers who stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, "Do you answer the high priest like that?" Jesus answered him, "If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why do you strike me?" Then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas the high priest. And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself, and a little while after the first denial, when he had gone out to the entrance, the rooster crowed. And another girl saw him and again began to say to those who were there, "This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth." And they said to him, "Aren't you one of his disciples?" And another said, "You are also one of them." And he denied again and swore to it and said, "Man, I am not, and I do not know the man." And after about the space of 1 hour, another confidently affirmed, saying, "Surely you are also one of them, for you are a Galilean, and your speech betrays you." One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of him whose ear Peter cut off, said, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Then he began to curse and swear, "I do not know the man of whom you speak." And immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed a second time. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered Jesus' word, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me 3 times. And he went out and wept bitterly. Now the chief priests, the elders, and all the council sought false testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but found none, even though many false witnesses came forward, for their testimony did not agree. But at last two false witnesses came forward and gave false testimony against him and said, "We heard him say, 'I can and will destroy the temple of God that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands.' And not even then did their testimony agree." And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, "Do you answer nothing? What is it these men testify against you?" But Jesus kept silent and answered nothing. Again the high priest asked him, saying to him, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One? I adjure you by the living God that you tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." Jesus said to him, "It is as you said, I am. Hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his clothes, saying, "He has spoken blasphemy. What further need do we have of witnesses? Look, now you have heard his testimony, his blasphemy. What do you think?" And they all condemned him and said, "He is guilty of death." And the men who held Jesus mocked him and spat in his face and beat him. And others blindfolded him and struck him in the face, saying, "Prophesy to us, Christ, who is it that struck you?" And many other things they blasphemously spoke against him. When morning came, all the chief priests and elders of the people came together and took counsel concerning Jesus to put him to death. And they led him into their council, saying, "If you are the Christ, tell us." And he said to them, "If I tell you, you will not believe me. And if I also ask you, you will by no means answer me or let me go. Hereafter the Son of Man will sit on the right hand of the power of God." Then they all said, "Are you then the Son of God?" And he said to them, "You rightly say that I am." And they said, "What further testimony do we need? For we ourselves have heard it from his own mouth." Thanks be to God. Word of God we hear from Matthew chapter 26, beginning at verse 62, which we read as follows in Jesus' name. And the high priest arose and said to him, "Do you answer nothing? What is it these men testify against you?" But Jesus kept silent. And the high priest answered and said to him, I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said to him, It is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven. These are your words, Holy Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As Christians, we live with two conflicting identities. We are creatures of God, made in his image, destined to live with him in paradise. But because of sin, we are servants of Satan, condemned to be cast out from God's presence and to spend eternity in unending torment. We are purchased and redeemed by the blood of God's own Son, so that heaven is once again opened for us by God's indescribable grace through faith in Christ. And yet, as long as we live in this world, in this sin-corrupted flesh, we do not live up to that name as child of God, brother or sister of Christ, heir of eternal life. Again and again, we fall. And we don't always want the world to know who we are completely. Think of Peter. When faced with an opportunity to tell the world who he was, he denied that he was a Christian. He denied even knowing Jesus. He even cursed and took an oath that he didn't know that man. And then think of Jesus. When faced with the accusation of blaspheming against God, he does not deny what he really said and who he really is. Wouldn't it have been easier, in a sense, to deny that he was God, to avoid going to that painful cross? But he lets the accusation of blasphemy fall on him, even though he is completely innocent and sinful and sinless. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God, Jesus. And Jesus said to him, It is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven. And Jesus also endured the false charge of treason before Pilate. Are you the King of the Jews? And Jesus said to him, It is as you say. Jesus did not hide his identity, but spoke it clearly. When charges were brought against him concerning his preaching, he said, I spoke openly to the world. I always taught in the synagogues and in the temples where the Jews always meet. And in secret I have said nothing. Why do you ask me? Ask those who heard me what I said to them. Indeed, they know what I said. Jesus speaks the truth, even though it means for him a sentence of death, the ridicule of his people, the accusation of blasphemy and treason. Jesus was surely tempted to run away, or to demonstrate his divine power, to destroy his captors, to be vindicated of these false charges. But he never gave in to the temptation to avoid the cup his Father gave him to drink. He innocently bore the accusation and punishment in our place, as our substitute, to take away our sins and our sinfulness, our lies and our denials. Jesus speaks the truth to deliver us and to defend us, and to let the charges go forth so that he could lay down his life in our place. The truth is who Jesus really is. Jesus is the truth. The truth is in Jesus because he is holy and pure, the Son of God. He speaks the truth and is not afraid of it. Jesus is everything right and true and noble and pure and holy and righteous and good for us. Peter hid his identity. He was afraid. He was tempted and gave in to the father of lies and spoke lies himself, just as we do. Perhaps we don't deny Jesus in quite such an obvious way, but we deny him when we live sinful lives, when we do not speak up to help the innocent, when we do not stand up for a truth which might not be so popular. But like Jesus, like Peter, we can learn to regret our sin, to weep bitterly, and to be forgiven. After Jesus rose from the dead, Jesus showed Peter that he had forgiven him, telling him, "Feed my sheep, you will be a leader of the church." Jesus always went after him to bring him back, always acted as the good shepherd, seeking the lost, finding those who stray from his flock, and restoring them and bringing them back into safety. When we wander away, sometimes even deliberately, Jesus still will seek us also. He helps us to realize where we have gone wrong, just as he looked at Peter after that third denial. And he reminds us again that we are his brothers and sisters. We are children of God. We are created in his own image and purchased by his own blood. Jesus' truthfulness and true self helps us to be our true selves as his redeemed followers. The devil would try again and again to capture our identity, to take us back to our corrupt nature. But through Jesus, we are restored and forgiven, reconciled to God, and made alive to truth and holiness. So when we ask ourselves who we are, we should look not only at ourselves, seeing our sinfulness and corruption, but we look to how God sees us, washed in the blood of Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That is our true and lasting identity. For here on earth we are sinners still, saint and sinner at the same time, but we are forgiven sinners. In heaven we will enjoy the perfect status of being pure saints, as God intended and wanted us to be from his perfect creation. Saint, pure, sinless, never to sin again, confirmed in glory through the truthfulness of Jesus, God's Son. Jesus is truthful about who he is. Even under oath, he tells the truth boldly, knowing that it means his death. The high priest says, "I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." And Jesus answered, "It is as you said," the equivalent of our, "Yes, indeed, I am." Jesus accepts this oath. He takes an oath by the highest, swearing by the highest thing possible, his very self as the true God. The Lord does this in other places of Scripture. He says, "As I live, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live." Again and again, Jesus tells us who he is. "I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the door of the sheepfold." He says these things truthfully and powerfully to comfort us and to bring us back to himself. So we can believe him when he speaks powerfully and truthfully about who we are as well. For he says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. You are my disciples indeed. I have redeemed you, you are mine." So when we consider our identity, we look not only to ourselves, but we look to our relationship to Jesus, who is our Lord and Master, our Savior and Redeemer, who owns us and delivers us to eternal life, so that we can say, "I am a Christian. I am Jesus' little lamb. I am baptized into Christ. I am a child of paradise. I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb." Because of Jesus, we can say, "Jesus crucified for me is my life, my hope's foundation, and my glory and salvation." Jesus is for us the way, the truth. He is eternal life. God be praised for the good news of his salvation. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, forevermore. Amen.
us in the end of the day, in the end of our life, and in the end of the world. Abide with us with your grace and goodness, with your holy word and sacrament, with your strength and blessing. Abide with us when the night of affliction and temptation comes upon us, the night of fear and despair when death shall come. Abide with us and with all the faithful through time and eternity. Let us bless the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.